Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A couple of newsletters ago, I asked the question as to why is it that Lutherans seem to sit in the back of the sanctuary. I think I have discovered the answer. And the answer to that question as to why Lutherans always sit in the back comes in our gospel reading for today. Let me explain some definitions here that will help you to understand the reason why I think that. The parts of a church all have names. I'm standing in the pulpit. The lectern is over there. This area behind me here is called the chancel, and then beyond the communion rail is called the altar. And the area where you are sitting is called the nave. That word nave comes from Latin navis, to mean a ship or boat. In the gospel lesson, we read today that Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. And so I can only conclude that Lutherans sit in the back of the church looking for Jesus to wake him up. Someone asked me in Sunday school how the lessons for today are connected. And at first glance, it's not clear. I questioned that myself, and until I did some reading, it was not clear. Let me see if I can help you to understand how the lessons of the Old Testament and the Gospel are connected. The Old Testament lesson comes from the book of Job. You remember Job? He was the one who had everything taken away from him. God and Satan get into a conversation, and Job is the one who ends up suffering as a result. Job loses his family, he loses his land, he loses his livestock. His life just turns into a pit. And he and his friends sit down to talk about why that happened to him, and so they have this ongoing conversation throughout the book. One will speak, and then another will speak, and they're all telling Job that he must have done something wrong to anger God so that God did that to him or allowed him to suffer all of those things. And Job responds, well, but that's not true. I have been a good person. I have worshiped God. I've led a good life. I don't deserve all of these bad things that have happened to me. In a few chapters before our reading, Job has ask for a hearing before God, much like you would go before a judge and plead your case. So our reading today starts with God's response from Job's plea at this hearing, if you will. God responds to him out of the word used in our reading as whirlwind. That's not a really accurate determination. It's more like a storm, a hurricane. That's what God speaks out of him. So there's one connection there with the gospel, is that we're talking about storms in both lessons. And God says this to Job with some seeming intimidating questions. Who is it that questions my methods? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Who determined how big it would be? Who shut in the sea and said, "This far you shall come, and no further"? The original thought here might be that God is all powerful, and Job, you better just sit down and shut up. But the real message here is more like we want to be reminded that God created the world. God is all powerful. That's the key I want you to think about the Old Testament. Turning to the gospel lesson then, Jesus has been performing miracles on the west side of the Sea of Galilee all day long. He's been casting out demons. He's been healing the sick. He's been teaching people. He's been doing all sorts of miracles. And he tells the disciples, let's go to the other side. And so it's getting to be evening, and as they cast out into the middle of this lake, it gets dark and a storm comes up. Now, being out on water in the middle of the night is a pretty scary thing. When I was about 10 or so, I went fishing with my parents and someone else who had a boat. And there we were out on a lake, pretty good sized lake. And it was dark, and you couldn't see the horizon. There were a few lights off in the distance and the stars, and that's the only way you could really tell which way was vertical. So it's not fun to be out on the water at night. And then here are the disciples rowing across this lake that's several miles across. And a storm comes up, and the boat starts to take on water. The waves are crashing over the bow. Meanwhile, the disciples get to be afraid. I mean, that would be a pretty scary thing to be out there with no horizon, and we don't even know if that we might not be rowing in circles. And so the disciples wake Jesus up and they say, "Don't you want to save us? Don't you care that we're going to die?" And Jesus stands up and calms the storm. And he says to them, "Why are you still afraid? You just saw me do all of these miracles." In fact, a few verses before this, Jesus says to the disciples, "I'm giving you the secrets of the world. I'm giving you the secrets of my kingdom." So initially, the disciples now are afraid of the storm. But when Jesus stands up and calms that storm, now suddenly their fear changes from the storm to this guy in the boat with them who can calm the storm, this person who has control of creation. So what kind of a God do we have here? One Old Testament God seems to be telling Job that he is sovereign and has all kinds of power over him. And Jesus in the New Testament sleeps in the back of the boat as if he doesn't really care what's going on. How can it be that a caring and loving God that we know would allow all of this bad things to happen? The Old Testament God seems to be domineering and arrogant. The New Testament Jesus sleeps in the back of the boat. The Old Testament God seems to remind Job of his power and his might. In the New Testament, Jesus seems to ignore the fears of his followers. What's going on here? What do we take from these texts? What should we learn from them? You might be surprised that I think the problem that we have is because of our human nature. There's an old saying, we have found the problem and it is us. You see, the disciples wanted God to do things immediately and do them their way. And we too want God to solve the brokenness of this world and to keep it away from us. We would like to have our world be perfect. And when it isn't, we tend to blame God. When the storms of life come, we tend to lose our trust in God, that remembering that he is in control. We don't believe that he will really protect us and keep us safe, that he will help us through the difficult times. "Jesus," we cry, "why are you asleep letting all of these bad things happen to me? My ship is sinking, Lord. What are you going to do? Why are you letting the storms of this life threaten me and threaten to sink my boat? Why are you asleep while I face the world alone?" Like Job, we complain to God that we shouldn't have to have all of these bad things happen to us, because after all, we are pretty good people. We come to church on Sunday. We come to Sunday school. God, you shouldn't let these bad things happen to us. That's exactly where the disciples are. Jesus has just driven out demons. He's healed Simon's mother-in-law. He's cleansed the leper. He's healed a paralytic man. And he's healed a man who had a withered hand. And Jesus told disciples that he has given them the secrets of the kingdom of God, and yet they're still not believing. They hadn't really incorporated that into their consciousness yet. In the midst of the storm, they forgot all of that. They could only think of what might happen to them and relying on themselves and how they might be able to survive that night out there on the water. When faced with the difficult and challenging and frightful situation, they are still afraid, and their faith is weak. And how often do we not find ourselves in that same position? I want to share a little story with you. This week, Ann and I were sitting in the living room, and the doorbell rang. Now, we weren't expecting anyone. And so I went to answer the door, and there stood Jerry Anderson. I haven't seen Jerry since his difficult time in the hospital. He's struggling, he's having a difficult time. And so it's with his permission that I tell you this story. As part of the conversation, he said to me, "Do you remember in the hospital where you said, when I was in the hospital, you said I should turn to God or I should ask God for help?" He said to me, "I can't believe that I forgot to ask God for help. I can't believe that I didn't turn to Him." He wondered out loud why this time of difficulty for him had not led him to ask for God's help. Well, that happens to all of us. We tend to forget to whom we need to turn. So my prayer for you today, my goal for you today, is that you will remember when the storms of life come into your life. You'll remember to whom you need to turn. So you see, the problem with both of these texts is that our human nature gets into the way of our relationship with God. Like Job, we want to earn God's favor and earn His protection and be loved because of our actions. We think we should be able to dictate how our lives go, how God should take care of us. How we should never have anything bad happen to us. Well, we should not have to suffer. And in that process, we forget how Christ suffered on the cross for us. So what is it that I want you to take from this? The point is not to proclaim God's sovereignty. That doesn't have anything to do with these texts. I do want you to notice that God responded to Job's plea. He answered Job. Maybe it wasn't what Job wanted to hear, but God answered him. And Jesus, when he woke up, responded to the prayer of the disciples. You see, that same eternal God who had the power to create the universe, the same one who answered Job's request, that same God who had the power to create the universe was in that boat with the disciples. That's the point of these texts. The God who created the universe was the same God in that boat with the disciples, and the same God is here with us today in the boat of this nave. He's ready and willing to help us when we face those storms of our lives. And so today I proclaim an even greater message. The great God, the Almighty and the Eternal God who created the universe, the God who was in the boat with the disciples and calmed the storm, the same great and eternal God took up human flesh. And He did a very ungodlike thing. He allowed Himself to be crucified on a cross. And He died, and He overcame the brokenness of this world. and the storms of this life so that you and I need not fear them. And so this is what I want you to take home today. As you drive out of the parking lot, I want you to be thinking this. As you open the door when you get home today, I want you to be thinking this. As you sit down for dinner Wednesday night, I want you to be thinking this. This is what I want you to remember. The same God who created the universe, the same Jesus who calmed the storm, the same God of creation who rules the wind and the waves and died on the cross, is the same God who is with you, the God who will complete that which he began in you so that you can be in peace. You need not fear the storms of life. Let me say that again. You need not fear the storms of life. That doesn't mean they won't come, but you don't need to be afraid of them because you do not face them by yourself. And so you can live in peace and in confidence, knowing that God is there with and for us. He will calm the storms of your life. Amen.